It's fun to be inquisitive. Be nosy. Stick to your passion. Find out more for yourself. Quest is fun. Join me, Tristan Pang, on a journey of inspiration. Welcome to Youth Voices.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, Tristan Pang, on Planet FM 104.6. Welcome to Youth Voices. I came back from the World Science Festival in Brisbane last week. It was a fantastic four-day event packed with good science stuff. I spoke with three other bright young minds at a panel called Future is in Good Hands. It was great, especially as the moderator was a renowned Nobel laureate in 2011, Professor Brian Schmidt. This is how Professor Schmidt introduced himself.
Hello, my name is Brian Schmidt. I'm an astronomer who was born in Missoula, Montana in 1967, and I was part of a team who discovered that the universe is accelerating in its expansion.
Professor Schmidt led a team that discovered the universe was accelerating and thus predicting the existence of dark matter and dark energy in the 1990s. This was done using data received from telescopes by analyzing the brightness of supernova and their redshift, then calculating their distances. This is a very important advancement in astronomy since it was thought that the universe was either decelerating or static, as proposed by Einstein and his work, and was quite a surprising result to the scientific community. Today, Professor Schmidt is the Vice Chancellor at the Australian National University since 2015. His most recent projects include the Sky Mapper, which aims to map billions of objects with the aim of finding unusual objects in space. I was lucky enough to sit next to Professor Schmidt during the panel. It felt surreal. I was very nervous too. I was a little fan getting very near to my idol, who is a famous and intelligent scientist. For the first time ever, my mind went blank. To be honest, I couldn't remember what I said on stage. I only remembered that the questions were brilliant. I'll try to give some of my answers later in the show. So, okay, going back to Professor Brian Schmidt. He's not only an intelligent person, he's also an amazing influential person. He is a great communicator and educator. His words are inspiring. Let's listen to his advice.
For someone, say, 15 years old today, would you give any advice to what they should do to have a good career?
Yeah, I think if you work hard and do something you love, there's really no way to go wrong. Learning how, you know, skills to think and to do something well, that enables you to, I guess, get trained up and do whatever you want in the future. Whenever you get an education, it opens doors up. It never closes them. And one should never think one has to do exactly what you're trained to do. So working hard and doing something you love is really the best step forward.
Keeping all doors open, would that be...
Always keep your doors open. Life is full of opportunity, and an education is the thing that really gives you the opportunity to do anything you want. Well, I think, you know, for young people, it's really important to realize that I think sometimes we have the perception that, you know, science is too limited of a career. And my experience is that I don't know literally any unemployed scientists at this point, people who've learned if they're willing to go and do other things. Science career enables you to do almost anything in life. And so I think it's a great career. If you're interested in doing it, don't be scared. Just go out and do it. And then you can do whatever you want in life.
That is amazing. Thanks, Professor Schmidt. So, remember everyone, work hard and keep the door open because life is full of opportunities. One of Professor Schmidt's questions to me was, how are you finding university? And you are a lot younger than the other students. Were there any interesting moments? My answer was that university is awesome. I've never felt so connected with people before. And when I was at school, while my friends were talking about 1D, which is the boy band One Direction, I was thinking of 11D. Which is the 11th dimension in string theory. We could never be able to understand each other. But now, I'm meeting lots of like-minded people, including the university students and the lecturers. I can connect well with them. I like the challenges that the university is giving me. I'm now an undergrad researcher at the Photon Factory at the university. I'm also in the Science Scholars Program where I can learn more about the science community. I have a few mentors and also a few mentees of first-year uni students, which are actually a lot older than me. When I first started at the university, I was only 12. I was a lot shorter than any one of them. Since my mum needed to be with me on campus under the requirement of the Vulnerable Children Act in New Zealand, people thought that my mum was the student and at the same time babysitting me. I always needed to explain to them. Things changed starting from last year. I got taller, even taller than some of the other students, and my voice was deeper. no one really noticed the age difference. But my mom still needs to be with me. They now think I'm her brother. I tutored a math class last semester. On the last day, I asked the students how old they think I was, and they said I was 18 or 19. When I said 14, they were all very surprised. Some even asked, "Are you the famous child prodigy Tristan Pang?" Or said, "Oh, a 14-year-old child genius is teaching us." And another question was, "You were quoted to want to go to Mars. Why? And what do you think?" Here is my answer. Going to Mars seems like a cool idea, but I'm actually not that keen. If anyone has read The Martian, you know that it is actually a very barren place. And, of course, with a few twisted facts here and there to make the plot more interesting. But if going to Mars is a mission to help find a better place for our future generations, it might be worth the sacrifice. However, this glamorous idea has led me to think a bit further. In reality, finding and adapting a backup planet would cost a fortune. It is far higher than the cost of providing everyone on Earth with clean drinking water, or even addressing climate issues. The money can also be used for science funding to address issues such as sustainability. And eventually, we won't need the backup planet anymore. We can then stay on our familiar Earth happily ever after. Also, as I always think, that if we don't change our behavior towards our environment, even though if we are successful in colonizing Mars, history will just repeat itself wherever we settle. Here, good science communication is needed to be able to convey these messages across to the public, especially in the modern society where the public plays a huge role in political decisions. Education also aids in presenting the correct view of scientists to the public, without bad science, pseudoscience, or pathological science taking over the media and public opinions. Another question is, how did you get started on inspiring both children and adults? Well, I started my journey at my TED Talk when I was 11, after winning at a science fair. I shared my message of quest is fun, be nosy. The speaking opportunities then kept coming. At one school, the students wanted me to teach them maths, but considering my busy schedule, I thought a good way was to help them online, where I shared videos and other content using my way of learning, which is just to ignore the year levels and to keep exploring the subjects topic by topic. It's quite different from what the current education system or curriculum is, which is where the same topic is scattered over a number of years and jumps between each topic. I know some students find it hard to relate the topics to one another, and I found these like reading a chapter of a storybook every year, but you have to wait until the next year to find out what happens next. As for me, I like to enjoy a complete story or picture and achieve a complete ending in one go. This is also how I structured my free online learning website, Tristan's Learning Hub. Later, I found that not only children were inspired and learned from my website, but also adults. I've gotten lots of positive feedback. One such was from a retired lady who wrote to me saying that she had a fear of maths and could never understand maths since very young. But after watching my video, she thought that if a child could self-learn and go about to help other people, she should give it a go. She promised me that she'll keep repeating to watch my videos until she could fully understand them. The next question was, when did you notice your talent for maths, and how did your maths journey start? My maths journey started when I was 2. I saw patterns everywhere around me. This and my curiosity led me to start thinking and exploring the world of maths and science. There were a huge collection of books in my playroom, together with Lego, Thomas the Tank Engine, and others. So I thought books were also a source of entertainment, and I read through all of them before I turned 5. Later, I found that one of the power of books which I have been reading were the Year 1 to 13 Science and Maths Curriculum books. This is how I accidentally started my self-studying journey into the academic world without realizing it. Later, I also realized that some young people told me that they started to follow their passions and pursue their dreams after hearing my story. Another question, talk about your maths research you did over the summer. What was your experience with the research? Did it change any of your goals? Well, I got a summer scholarship from the University of Auckland to do research on algebraic curves, one of the most well-established and active topics of mathematics that is used widely in many other topics of mathematics and other fields, including physics, computer science, and engineering. Applications include robotics optimization and cryptography. Straight after my summer research project, I did research at the photon factory about the properties of graphene and how it reacts to lasers. This and other projects are ongoing. The project can help to make graphene in a less complicated and faster way and can be used for making things such as electronics. And did it change any of my goals? No, it indeed helped me confirm that I've set the right goal for myself as a mathematician or scientist in the theoretical spectrum. And I feel that I'm closer to understanding the physical and theoretical laws of our world so that I can be part of the collaborative effort to help describe and predict our natural world to solve the world issues. So my lifelong goal is still the same. And finally, in response of the theme of the panel, the role of science and technology in overcoming some of the major challenges facing humanity. I believe that while we are enjoying the comfort from our previous generations' great inventions, we are at the same time suffering from the consequences of those inventions, such as climate change and sustainability issues. No doubt we will keep creating and developing new technologies and scientific inventions. Those activities may more or less pollute our Earth. So, learning from history, we should be more responsible to our future generations by minimizing the byproducts. As a human race, we have the responsibility to safeguard the world's environment and resources for our future generations and other life on Earth. So, that's it from me, Tristan Peng. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. I welcome your feedback and support of your program. Don't forget to like Youth Voices with Tristan Peng on Facebook. Goodbye.
Join me again for another exciting program next month on the first Wednesday at 2:10 p.m. or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/youthvoices or listen to the archive on my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. Youth Voices.
Just got up, still rapping, snapping kittens and grabbing my crotch. I'm the artist that goes farthest, the hardest of rock. You gon' mess around and make me knock your fruit juice loose. Banana, your watermelon, and pomegranate too. Rhyming kung fu, that split bamboo. Crowd rocking, ain't no stopping that rapping ass fool. I been bad, bro, what you getting mad for? I'm gonna have to light you up. I eat flames up, crap fire out. Make me light my butt. Excuse me, with me, I got a lot of goofy. Hard to have a freaking dollhouse ice cream. It's going down to the thing out the frame with my bang. Ow. Come on. Feel right in this motherfucker. Feel good in this motherfucker. My whole hood in this motherfucker. And we gon' run this motherfucker for you. Feel right in this motherfucker. Feel good in this motherfucker. My whole hood in this motherfucker. And we gon' run this motherfucker for you. And we gon' run this motherfucker for you. Yeah, we gon' run this motherfucker for you. Pull it out my pocket. Don't let go of the sword, you're gonna pull it out the socket. It's exercise with thighs and hip muscles. This exercise, you're gonna burn some lip muscles. Let the music work your ear muscles. And if it's skinny, then use your little muscles. A bad bag and too bad for these muffles. But blah, blah, just smash when we hustle. Last time you had a knuckle sandwich, huh? When it asked on somebody, they put some off your ass, couldn't handle it. You can't stand it. To make matters worse, you gotta go to studio with Bruno Mars on another planet. Don't get mad, I'm just saying. Don't believe it cause I'm saying it, believe it cause I'm saying it. I'm doing the rapping and busting, rising on the scratching and cutting. Come on. Feel right in this motherfucker. Feel good in this motherfucker. My whole hood in this motherfucker. And we gon' run this motherfucker for you. Feel right in this motherfucker. Feel good in this motherfucker. My whole hood in this motherfucker. And we gon' run this motherfucker for you. And we gon' run this motherfucker for you. Yeah, we gon' run this motherfucker for you.